Welcome on Texas Football. Time for this week's recruiting breakdown. I'm Bobby Burton, sitting in for Jerry Hamilton, who usually hosts this, but he's on the road today, headed over to Florida, see a couple of recruits. CJ Vogel here with me as well, covering recruiting for On Texas Football. We are sponsored by Mark Saunders, your local Allstate insurance agent. Hey, CJ, we've been talking about this for a long time. A lot of announcements coming up this week. There were some announcements last week. This is the recruiting breakdown, so we kind of cover it all and give you a synopsis. A couple of things. One, Smith Orogbo, young man out of Alief Hastings, committed to the Longhorns yesterday. That was a big commitment. It pushed Texas up to 13 overall pledges, and frankly, it gave them the two edges that they coveted most in this recruiting class. Yeah. We talked about this before. I want to go into a little bit of that. At one point, edge was considered a weakness on this Texas roster. But if you look at the last 2 years, CJ, they've dominoed on their top choices at edge both years. Colin Simmons and Zeno Omiozulu last year, and now this year, Lance Jackson and Smith Orogbo. They're doing some work at that pass rush position, which is a premium position as they head into the SEC.
Yeah, they've done a tremendous job there, Bobby. It's really interesting the way that they've gone about it too, right? You know, two guys in each class, and, you know, you kind of look at it, there's a speedster, you know, kind of quick twitch guy, and then there's that kind of bigger body, that strong edge guy as well. You know, obviously Colin Simmons and now Smith Orogbo kind of fit more of that twitchy, I don't call it smaller build because Smith Orogbo is 6'4", right? You know, but he certainly has that frame in which you can continue to add muscle to, get him up to about 240, 250, and just let that quick twitch and that ball get off kind of be the reason why you see success on the edge versus on the opposite side. Zeno Omiozulu, who's about up to 6'5", 255, 260 pounds at the moment. And obviously Lance Jackson, who's 6'6", 260 right now. Listen, they've done a great job on the edge. And I think that was one of the big issues that they needed to address going into the SEC is, you know, we've got talent there. I wouldn't say we have game-changing talent right there. Now I think they're addressing that and they're getting some of these, you know, blue chip national caliber guys onto that position, which is a game-changing spot for the defense. And right now Texas fans should look at that spot and say, yeah, it's in the right direction going into this SEC.
That, you know what? They've done as well there in the last 2 years as they have at running back. You know, Tashard Choice gets a lot of plaudits, and rightfully so, for what he's done at running back. They're doing the same kind of thing at edge right now, just to give you a full flavor. However, that's not the only position they're recruiting, and there's been some scuttlebutt going on at defensive tackle recruiting. I want to get to that next. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That sponsor is Mark Saunders of Allstate. I appreciate Mark and his sponsorship of On Texas Football and the recruiting breakdown. Here is the good news. Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders is the only insurance agent you need. Everything from your home, car, and boat to your motorcycle, RV, even an ATV. Call Texas Allstate agent Mark Saunders' office today, 512-218-8571. Are you in good hands? With more than 35 years of experience, you will be with local agent Mark Saunders in the Austin Round Rock area. He's also a Texas alum. He was out on Sunday at the celebration, SEC celebration as well. A true fan. If you're looking for someone local to the Austin Round Rock area, again, give him a call, 512-218-8571. Thanks, Mark, for your sponsorship of On Texas Football. Hey, CJ, the next piece, and we were talking about going into that commercial break, is the defensive tackle rotation or recruiting situation. We mentioned on over the weekend, look, they lost Josiah Sharma out of Folsom, California to Oregon. Myron Charles, an hour or two later, committed to Florida State. Those were two of the top guys on the board for the Longhorns. They had previously lost out on Zion Williams, who didn't even make an official visit. And they lost out on Kevin Wynn out of Georgia to Florida State. You know, that was something that was somewhat expected, but still. And now this week we find out that Brandon Brown, a young man that's been committed to Texas for 6 months or so now, going on 7 months, is expected to make a final decision. And as of right now, I mean, he's listed as a commitment to Texas, one of the 13. If I'm a betting man, I don't think it's Texas when he announces on what sounds like it's going to be July 4th. Where is Texas at in this? DJ Sanders, his situation, the young man up at Belleville, expected to make a decision this week as well. Where is all this standing right now?
Yeah, it's been a rocky road. I don't think anybody will contest that about the defensive tackle spot. And, you know, that last week of June was particularly tough for the Texas Longhorns, right? Sharmer goes to Oregon, Kevin Wynn, Myron Charles all end up at Florida State. Now you're sitting around thinking, okay, we were expecting at least one of those guys, maybe two, even following the strong official visit month, already with Brandon Brown in the fold. Well, with his, you know, final decision, quote unquote, coming up soon, Bobby, it's, again, to your point, looking a little less likely that he remains in the class than what it was originally. There's just too much pull in his corner right now to that prior relationship with Bo Davis. So what does that mean for Texas? Well, you'll be entering July, at least the 4th of July around then, with zero defensive tackles in your 2025 recruiting class. It's not a great spot to be in. And when you consider kind of the in-state prospects that were previously considering the Longhorns that did not receive official visit invites, well, now you're fighting from behind across all of your defensive tackle spot. That big board right now is looking a little thin at the moment. So it adds emphasis to the recruitment of DJ Sanders. I thought Texas had a great spot in his fight for that commitment earlier. I've been told over the last week that Texas A&M is going to make a bigger, concerted push for him, the defensive tackle out of Belleville. Of course, I believe that was more so in response to perhaps a Zion Williams alerting the A&M staff of what his decision will be. Previously, it wasn't going to be a big push from Texas A&M or Michigan, kind of that final three for DJ Sanders, where it looked like Texas was going to walk to the finish line here. Now it's a little bit more contested between Texas and Texas A&M. Of course, that's going to be a big recruitment. Also, don't be surprised if Texas circles back on a Chase Sims. He took four official visits in the month of June. Again, he did not officially visit Texas. So if this is a recruitment that lingers on a little bit longer down the road, look for an in-season official visit to take place if that is the case and he does reciprocate that interest with the Longhorns.
Yeah, I think Sims is going to announce for a school here soon. Right. The question is, will Texas's, if they have renewed interest, will it actually be reciprocated at that point by Sims? I'm waiting for this because I think that right now, based on what I'm being told, I mean, it's less than a 20-25% chance that Brandon Brown sticks with the Longhorns. I think it's going to be LSU, and I'm not so sure that Oklahoma hasn't jumped up there and made themselves a real player in this recruitment as well. Very interesting dilemma now for the Longhorns. I think one of the issues that you worry about, CJ, is the problem mushrooming, right? Like, when do you stop the bleeding a little bit? We'll have to see exactly what happens here with DJ Sanders, for example, in that regard. Again, we think he's going to announce a decision sometime this week. He is not, as of this taping, put out an official timeline on that as yet. But, you know, defensive tackle recruiting, to your point, I like how you called it a rocky road at this point. Other guys making decisions today, this week, guys that visited Texas, Marco Jones and Caleb Edwards, defensive end and tight end that Texas brought in. I don't think Texas prioritized Jones. He's expected to go to either Michigan or Texas A&M. This weekend, they prioritized Smith Orogbo out of that. And then we'll see what happens with Caleb Edwards, the tight end. I think Texas also prioritizing someone else with Nick Townsend, the tight end out of Spring Decaney. So let's talk about that. So the second is today, Marco Jones and Caleb Edwards, two guys we don't really think are going to matter much. Zion Williams, defensive tackle out of Lufkin, and Brandon Brown, we think on the fourth. Both of those guys right now, we think, leaning to LSU.
Correct.
So the next couple of days could be tough sledding for the Longhorns. Jonathan Cunningham, the linebacker out of North Crowley, goes on July 5th. Then two guys that have been very heavily recruited by the Longhorns, Cade Phillips, a defensive back out of Fort Bend Hightower, and Riley Pettijohn, a linebacker out of McKinney go on July 6th. And then Nick Townsend, the trio of Nick Townsend, tight end out of Spring Decatur, wide receiver out of Decatur, Tanook Hines, and wide receiver out of Hitchcock, Kelshawn Johnson, all go on the 8th. I want to mention this. One other guy that we believe is going to go this week at some point is Nathan Tillman out of Mansfield Timberview. We believe that's going to happen. We do not have an exact time frame for him, but it's something that we're keeping our eye on and ear to the ground, so to speak, as much as possible. I mentioned all these guys, DJ, and the next 48 hours doesn't look promising, but then you start with Cunningham, Phillips, possibly Pettijohn. Let's talk a little bit about those guys and then finishing up with Townsend, who I think the Longhorns are in great shape with. Where do you see Texas at right now over the next 48, 72 hours?
Yeah, you know, I think you mentioned it, Bobby. I mean, you know, the next 24 to 48 hours may not be a fun time on the timeline or the message boards, wherever you're, you know, kind of construing some of your Texas, you know, information. But beyond that, and after the 4th of July, I think those fireworks will begin to pop a little bit more from the celebration of the 4th of July, right? Texas recruiting will certainly start seeing some fall in their favor. I'll start with Jonathan Cunningham, because this is an interesting one to me. I was told earlier this cycle, Texas maybe had fallen out of favor with Jonathan Cunningham. He took official visits to Utah, TCU. Obviously, Texas got him on the campus. I think he likes Texas. I think Texas has done a great job of pitching kind of that Sam backer, that outside linebacking role to him. But there are some folks that might raise some questions about whether or not he will be able to play quickly at Texas versus some of his other options. That's a big concern in his camp right now. Will it overcome what the Longhorns have pitched him? I'm not sure. All I know is there is some hesitancy about the Longhorns going all the way in for his recruitment right now. Moving on, Riley Pettijohn's a full four-team race right now, whether it be Texas, Texas A&M, Ohio State, or USC. Bobby, I find it very difficult to handicap at the moment. The last 2 weeks, I've heard a lot of smoke with Ohio State and Texas A&M, whereas over the last 48 hours here in Austin, I've heard a lot of smoke about USC becoming more and more of a threat as well. All in all to say, I'm not sure when the last time I've heard, you know, a whole lot of positive news in regards to Longhorns in this race. So at the linebacker spot, and I don't want to compare it to the defensive tackle spot because you got a guy in the fold that is very firm with Elijah Barnes. Moving forward, you want to get up to two, potentially even three. I think there's three linebackers on the board, Jonathan Cunningham and Riley Pettijohn. Where does that sit right now with Madden Ferramo? Right now, he's gone radio silent on all ends. So if Texas, you got to go one for three here, 100%. And I think that is going to be very interesting. Of course, Cunningham, Pettijohn in the next 2 to 3 days. Moving forward, I don't think Ferramo's released any sort of commitment date at the moment. But moving to the backfield, Cade Phillips also on July 6th. I felt good about Cade Phillips since well before his official visit. That official visit just kind of stamped where I felt about his recruitment moving forward. He's a guy that, you know, in the next 4 days, Bobby, I would feel good about adding to this Texas 2025 class. And then we'll move on to July 8th here in a bit. But Cade Phillips is probably that one guy I'm looking at right now with the best odds to end up in this class.
Yeah, if you're looking for wild cards this week to occur, which, you know, we'll see if there's fireworks this week in Austin. You're talking about three guys, DJ Sanders, Nathan Tillman, and Madden Ferramo. Yes. Because they don't have definitive dates to our knowledge at this point in time, but they are out there, and I think Texas will get at least one, if not more, of those. So there is some stuff going on. You just don't necessarily know the dates. The question with Cunningham is interesting about, you know, is he going to be a guy that he thinks he can actually break that lineup? And you got to have some guys that have some confidence, you know. And then Riley Pettijohn, you mentioned that as well. Bo Barnes, you know, to your point, the difference between linebacker recruiting and defensive tackle recruiting right now, Texas already has a blue chipper on the board at linebacker.
Definitely.
So it's a little bit different than no one on the board yet at defensive tackle recruiting. That being said, it could end up a little bit like the defensive edge recruiting. Look, CJ, you take Lance Jackson and Smith Orogbo, you're not doing any better. You get Bo Barnes and either Madden Ferramo or Riley Pettijohn, you're not doing any better.
You're done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's where that sits right now. Let's move on to Spring to Caney, because I think those are an interesting recruitment, particularly Nick Townsend, the tight end out of Spring to Caney. Jerry Hamilton wanted me to pass this along. He talked to Nick Townsend this morning. Nick Townsend said that he is announcing at around 4:30 on July 8th. He and his teammate, Tanook Hines, the wide receiver out of Spring to Caney. Townsend is down to four schools. He has already decided where he's going to go to school. Texas A&M, Alabama, and USC are the four finalists for him. So Texas A&M, Alabama, USC are the four finalists. Yet he has already made up his mind and is just waiting to announce. CJ, you went by there and had that in-person interview with him last week. Where do you see Texas sitting right now? Should Texas feel confident? Do you think that there's some cause for concern? Where are you thinking right now on Nick Townsend?
Yeah, I like Texas's positioning for Nick Townsend, you know, less than a week from his decision date. Of course, they did a great job of pitching what Jatavion Sanders did at the University of Texas at that tight end spot, and then also kind of elaborating further on him being further along in a physicality perspective than Jatavion Sanders. And, of course, running a 10-900 meter dash, that speed vertically fits what Texas wants to do at the tight end spot very well. So they did a great job of kind of elaborating a little bit more on what his role would be in this Sarkisian offense. Because again, when you look at his top four right now, maybe with the exception of a Texas A&M, you're looking at, Kalen DeBoer, you're looking at Lincoln Riley, and you're looking at a Steve Sarkisian offense that all involves verticality and, you know, needing a big tight end target right now. And so I think what Texas was able to push to him on his official visit was, yeah, we set records with Jatavion Sanders at the University of Texas at the tight end spot. We view you very similarly in the same mold as him. I think that's what's kind of, weighing on him the most right now when he evaluates all of his options. Of course, staying in town, staying close to home is something also important. Only a 3-hour drive from Spring to Caney out to Austin. So I like the Longhorns right now, and I would be a bit surprised if that decision goes elsewhere on July 8th.
Tanook Hines and Kelshawn Johnson, you feel differently there, though. It seems like Kelshawn Johnson's been trending towards A&M for a while, despite his early interest in the Longhorns. And then Tanook Hines, I'm hearing Notre Dame as much as any other school. Would you agree with that, those assessments?
Yeah, and Tanook Hines, I see that as a Fighting Irish, kind of walk to the finish line for me, at least, with Tanook. With Kelshawn Johnson, again, it's kind of juggled back and forth between Texas A&M and Texas. Texas gave him an opportunity earlier this spring to join the class. He opted to look a little bit further into his recruitment, give Texas A&M a larger try. I heard that visit went very well for him in June, as did I hear about the same thing with the Longhorns in June. So he does have a very close race on hand for his commitment coming up this week as well. The question is, will Texas be able to overcome how high the Aggies have been able to pitch his priority or his position on the priority list right now at the wide receiver spot in College Station? I think that's giving him a lot to think about moving forward.
You mentioned that, and I think it's fair to bring it up. I mean, that's what's going to happen over the next week. I think it's fair to say Texas sitting at 13 commitments. I think Brandon Brown is going to probably end up elsewhere. That takes Texas back to 12. I see Texas probably getting three commitments over the next week, would be 3 to 4 possibly. So Texas will then be back up to 16 or 17. And that leads us into the rest of July and into August with these names, okay? And I think this is important. Starting at the wide receiver, DeCorian Moore, Jerry Hamilton reporting he thinks it's going to be late July, early August there. You also have Jamie French, the wide receiver out of Jacksonville. That's August 30th. Kalik Lockett, wide receiver out of Dallas area. That's going to be August 7th. And then you also have offensive linemen like Nick Brooks, Michael Fasusi, and Lamont Rogers. All of those guys are later. And then Aiden Anding in the defensive secondary also going to be involved as well at some point after he visits LSU. Although right now I would think that LSU has got an in there because of the in-state ties and the fact that Anding delayed his announcement after being offered by the Tigers late last week. Interesting situation right now. We mentioned all these guys. Another one to mention, Daylan McCutcheon announces on July 13th. Forgot about him. But I think that, you know, one of the things I talked to someone at Texas earlier today, and I think that there's a long way to signing day. At the same time, there's this crux of timelines where you want to keep building up your class and building up your class. But everybody needs to realize this. Texas takes a long approach. They're in it for the long game, not necessarily just for the right here, right now. And so they would rather know ahead of time if somebody's in or out and then try to work and figure out why they were out and then go back and talk to them some more. Give us a sense of what that means. I mean, I'm looking at just at linebacker alone the last 2 years.
Yeah.
CJ, Anthony Hill in the 2023 class and Ty Anthony Smith in the 2024 class at linebacker, both switched from A&M late. Then you have guys like Jelani McDonald, Warren Roberson, came back from, I think it was TCU that they were committed to, or Oklahoma State, one of them. And then you had Wardell Mack and Xavier Filsimi yet last year at Florida. I think that's what we all expect, but are those guys even out there right now for Texas potentially, in your opinion, or could it be somebody that we haven't even thought of yet, maybe at defensive tackle?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be a late senior evaluation. It could be a guy that just pops up on the board late. The thing I wanted to mention there, Bobby, is where are most of these guys that we see Texas flipping or taking very late in the cycle? They're all on the defensive side of the ball. And that's kind of where the question marks are sitting right now with this class. Of course, Texas doesn't have a receiver in the fold, but you know it's going to come down to Kelshon, DeCorian Moore, Jamie French, Khalik Lockett. That's basically where the core of your group is going to be coming from. Offensive line, you've got four in the fold. You're just waiting on the decisions from the next three on the list, right? You understand where your targets are. You look at it from 2023. You mentioned Anthony Hill. Jelani McDonald reopened his commitment late from an Oklahoma State. Warren Roberson did it from TCU. Very similar situation. Texas fought off Oklahoma very late for Tasilia Akana for that commitment. Moving into 2024, the coaching carousel at Florida allowed for Xavier Filsimi and Wardell Mack to be opened up. So there's going to be a little bit more switching going on right now, whether it be coaching spots opening up. Maybe you see the on-field play and it doesn't live up to the expectations of what you were pitched early on in the cycle. I look at it right now for Texas, especially on the defensive side of the ball, to say, hey, we might be behind the eight ball in June, but moving forward, that first signing date doesn't start until December. And I think you'll see a lot of movement in October and November again in this class, because we've seen it year and year again right now under this Texas staff. Again, go to 2022. It's Terrence Brooks, a late flip on signing day from Ohio State. That's been a recurring theme with this Texas staff right now, and I expect that to be the same similar situation that we see in this 2025 class.
Okay. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of the Recruiting Breakdown. I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, Mark Saunders. If you're looking for a local All-State agent, it's Mark Saunders that you need to call, 512-218-8571. Are you in good hands? With more than 35 years of experience, you will be with Texas alum Mark Saunders. Again, if you're looking for someone local to the Austin Round Rock area, give him a call, 512-218-8571. Thanks, Mark, for your sponsorship, ongoing sponsorship of the Recruiting Breakdown. All right, CJ, that's going to do it for this Recruiting Breakdown. We've got another live stream coming tonight. And if there is any breaking news, you can definitely stay tuned to ontexasfootball.com, or we'll break in here as well on the video or podcast platform for sure if there's any major breaking news. For CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. Hook 'em.